You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive. And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back to hour number two of Mino and the Mayor here in 97.9 FM WGBW, 98.3, 96.5 FM WISS in Oshkosh and Appleton. Of course, the Civic Media app worldwide and 1590 AM and 1100. You're laughing at me because every time I have to turn to
every time.
Every day. Why don't I write that down? Why don't, I don't know.
Or memorize it. 1590,
right.
I think you could probably memorize that in a maybe a couple weeks.
Cheese Curd Nick is in the house. We got Tom Drzewicki, Bayside Ice and Marine, standing by, who is a very busy man these days. Good morning, Tom.
Hi there. Yeah.
How you doing, buddy?
Good. Just a day of rest, I guess, for me,
which
is good.
And it's about time, just to refresh our listeners, and you've been on the show, I don't know, two, three times, but you people who, whatever, don't think right, and they go through the ice, you're the guy that got...
Well, and that, when we had him on, it was at the beginning of the ice season.
That's true, that's
giving
right.
tips. Now it's the end of the ice season and giving tips.
Right. Yeah. I call it March Madness, not the basketball.
Yeah.
That's my ice recovery, yes. So.
And you said today is like a day of rest, so what have you been doing?
Sleeping?
Well,
before we call
in the last week, I probably did close to 10 different jobs. We've been doing a couple days where we're two a day. So it's busy for me with just a small crew. So,
Tom, tell us in a little more detail of one of them that was like, I can't believe this is happening. What did you do? What was one of the 10 that you rescued?
Well, one of the memorable ones was we did one on the Sturgeon Bay Shipping Canal on Saturday. A person dropped his GMC Acadia or whatever right in about 24 feet of water.
Oh,
and he was upside down. He's lucky to be alive at this moment. If he went to get out of that vehicle, it would have been lights out for him.
Wow.
So.
Wow. And that could have been prevented had he listened to you?
Well, when you try to drive across the shipping canal just the month before, when you have tugboats and icebreakers pushing ice around to get these big ships berthed for winter, there's a lot of ice that was that's only a month old. The thickness was there, but he just found a bad spot, and it swallowed up his whole truck. So,
Tom, what's the number one thing you're seeing with these people? Is it hitting a soft spot where, you know, somewhere before maybe there was 18 inches, or is everything kind of crappy now? I'm sure this warm rain isn't going to help anything where there is ice. So you just give us the status of being on the ice these days.
Well, right now on social media, there's a lot of people saying, well, this particular lake still has 14 inches of ice on it. Well, I've been on 14 inches of ice that's all in a honeycomb state, which accelerates when it's raining or the sun is out, when you hit that 50, 60 degree mark. And this 14 inches of honeycomb ice wouldn't even support my weight. And I was a little lighter years ago when I was trying to stand on that ice. So yesterday we were on, there was areas that were like a foot to 12 inches of ice on a job down on Partridge Lake, and the equipment it was almost sinking just walking on it. So this is classic honeycomb ice. So just because you have ice thickness doesn't mean it's good ice.
But
you have stronger ice early in the year. An inch and a half will out-support a foot of ice right now.
Wow.
That is really enlightening. I didn't know that. And that honeycomb, you know, I've heard that before, but I didn't know that 12 inches of honeycomb couldn't even support a couple hundred pounds.
Right. When it really gets bad, your ice is going to go from with water on top of it after a snow melt. It'll go from a gray to a darker color to the point where it actually gets black, but then it'll actually turn white again or gray. When it gets that, unless you're a mosquito, you're not walking on it. It's bad, bad, bad. Yeah.
Wow.
Do people know those signs generally, Tom?
Well, with all the knowledge on the internet nowadays, you would think they would, because it's hard to figure people out. So
don't you think? Do they need a license to ice fish in the state?
Oh, yeah.
I know you do.
Regular.
I know that.
Yes, you do.
Okay.
Yeah.
And don't you think this should maybe be part of it? A couple more questions, like a 10 questionnaire. Come on. This is dangerous. It's dangerous for you. I mean, I just think I have so much respect for you that you're kind of risking yourself to go out there and get this guy's upside down truck.
Oh, sure. Yeah. One thing I want to hit on here, Jim, is this weekend. It's going to be a little cooler, and there might be guys walking out on ice. But early in the week, we're going to have maybe 50 degrees in mid-50s into next week.
Yes.
Well, if you go out there at 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning after it was, say, 20 degrees at night, that firms things up a little bit on the surface. But if you're out there all day and the sun is out, and you turn around and you start walking back towards shore, once you get closer to that shoreline and that shallow water with the sun shining through that ice onto that sand, you better have a pair of waders or a kayak or a canoe or a raft or something, because you might not get back to shore after a day of fishing.
Well, Tom, we had a horrible tragedy on the bay that you were the first person there. And we're talking, what was it, 4 feet of water? You don't have to go down to 10
feet. That example was that guy that went out there early in the year, and it was like close to 55 degrees that day, and there was only 2-3 inches of ice to start. And at the end of the day, because this all happened right before it got dark, and the guy fell in. And being elderly, hypothermia got to him because he couldn't physically get himself back up on top of the ice to get to shore. A young guy would have made it out of there in 30 seconds. So,
but there you go. That's just showing you walking to shore. You don't have to go in 10 feet of water. I mean, that water is still so cold, and the exposure and everything. If you can't climb out,
yeah. If it's just because the water has to be over your head for you to drown.
Exactly.
I mean, 4 feet.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
And if you fall through this honeycomb ice, you can't hardly even swim through it, because it just keeps breaking down and breaking down. Like yesterday, we were on this job and we lost 2 inches of ice just in the couple hours that we were out there. So
wow, this is Tom Drzewicki, Bayside Ice and Marine. He has been busy as heck. Tom, if you could just do sky riding for anybody thinking about going ice fishing right now, what would you say?
Wear a float suit, have that cell phone. If it's not waterproof, you better get it in a baggie or something. Tell people where you're going. You need to fish where people can see you. Don't try to walk out there 2 or 3 miles where nobody can see you, because, it's all about this self-rescue. If you fall through the ice, can you physically get yourself back up on top of that ice before you succumb to hypothermia, before the rescue personnel get to you?
Tom, Jim brought up a point earlier about your safety. Tell us about your safety going out to reclaim some of these vehicles.
And people.
Well, and people, yeah.
On lighter stuff, we use all airboats now.
Right.
So, and it's the best technique since sliced bread. It's a lot of equipment. It took me years to build this stuff. And to get it working properly, it was a learning experience. Nobody really does it like me, pushing my equipment around with an airboat, but that really takes the safety out of it, where years ago, I would strap on a dry suit and crawl out on my stomach maybe a quarter mile to put a pulley on it to get my pontoon rig over the top of the vehicle or close to it, where nowadays we will just drive the airboat basically right over the top of what we're pulling out. And once it's clear, we start it up and head for shore with it. So my techniques are, we brought the ice recovery into the 21st century, I guess. Some guys are.
You had us out. I crawled on my stomach for a quarter of a mile.
Why? I got to ask you, did you lose a loved one in this? Or why are you risking your life to help someone? And you are.
Yeah, where's the passion come from?
Well, I started this years ago. I bought my house on the bay, and I knew even 30-some years ago that there was money in ice recovery. And I watched four people fall in front of my house. And I said to myself, well, next year I'm going to be in the ice recovery business. So I...
Did you take the highest bidder?
Yeah. A lot of my techniques and inventions, I kind of have dreams about them. So, and then I go to work and I build this stuff. So then I was in business the very next year. So that's one of my big reasons I got into this. And it just... some years I don't get much work at all, but with social media and stuff, I get a lot more work than I used to. So,
that's incredible. We appreciate you doing that. I mean, you're one of those guys who says, hey, you know, there's a service, there's a need, I'm going to fill it. And it takes a special breed to do it.
Yes, absolutely, yes. So,
I mean, you're not an old guy, but you're not a young guy. Is there succession in your business? I mean, we're probably going to need this for the next...
forever.
We're going to need it forever. I mean, until technology, everybody is going to go out there with a drone that will carry one guy and set him on top of the ice. And if you fall through, you can helicopter your drone right back to shore. You know, that technology might just... We might be on the edge of something right there, but... Them things might cost $60,000-$70,000 when it's time, you know. So,
yeah, my point is, if somebody's interested in doing this, and they may be, that wouldn't be me, but I think this is great. Would you sit down and talk to a student or some young man if he's thinking or lady that's thinking of doing this?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Interesting career.
Tom Drzewicki, Bayside Ice and Marine. All the respect in the world for what you do, Tom. Give everybody one big cautionary thing. You got 30 seconds, buddy.
Okay, like I said, last thing is watch that weather. If you're out there and in the morning and when it's cold, you got to watch your temperature as you walk back to shore at the end of the day. And the ice is going to start moving around with the high winds. So you'll be on an iceberg just floating away without even realizing it. So it's that time of year.
Thank you, Tom Drzewicki. Bayside Ice and Marine, you're awesome. Mine on the Mayor, back after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Because I'm free, nothing's worrying me.
Hey, welcome back. Mino the Mayor, along with Cheese Curd Nick here. Interesting stuff from Tom Drzewicki, Bayside Ice and Marine. Wow, Nick, I mean, that is scary stuff, isn't it?
Yeah.
Go out and do that?
Well, yeah. Yeah, if you look at, you know, I ice fish a lot, and... Everything that he talked about, he's 100% right. You know, with fishermen, you'll always hear early ice is great and late ice is best ice. And when they say that late ice is, it's obviously the ice isn't the best. The fishing is.
Yeah.
You know, I've been, like he said, where you walk out, I've been on lakes in April up north, up in Anago area or in the UP in April, where you walk out, you're wearing hip waders because you're getting out okay in the morning. But on the way back, you're going to actually have to walk through some water to get back to shore.
Well, like he said, they lost 2 inches of ice in the time he was out there.
Out there coming back.
Right. Well, and that's what happens with that honeycomb ice. When your ice starts to honeycomb, you know, like when it honeycombs. So, like, I was fishing.
Todd, are you going to play honeycomb now? Because we said it like 30 times.
Honeycomb.
So, honeycomb. Yesterday.
No, I was looking at Todd to see if he was.
That wasn't a bad cereal, though. I liked honeycomb cereal.
That was good cereal.
Yeah.
But so, I think what it. Anyway, we all know what honeycomb is. Go ahead. Yeah, Nick.
Like yesterday, I was on 16 inches of ice with the top three was honeycomb or junk, mush, right? Whatever. Huh? Once it starts mushing, it's just time. It's inevitable. And now today, so like it started raining yesterday at what, 6 o'clock? We're supposed to get an inch of rain. So when you have something, say like the Fox, now most of the Fox River is open, okay?
Yes.
Wide open.
But what happens is you have that current on the bottom that's eating away at the bottom. And now you have an inch or two of rain coming on the top, so it starts eating it from both sides. Mm. So then it's even faster because now it's getting worked on both sides, not just one. And now if you throw, like next week, it was supposed to be in almost 70, but they dropped it down to the 50s. Now if those days are sunny.
Yeah, game over. We're done.
Yeah, then it's just even quicker.
Yeah.
But these big trucks.
You know, like the guys out there with that GMC, I mean.
I don't get it.
I wonder if the insurance company.
The insurance covers you one time.
Oh, really?
Even if it's total stupidity, they don't do it for car accidents.
Even if it's total stupidity. I asked my insurance agent, Scott Folsom, State Farm. I said, this was years ago. I said, so like, how does insurance? He's like, you get it basically covered one time and that's it.
Do they do it for, I don't know if I would agree with that.
Do you get fined by the DNR?
You get fined by the DNR if it's not plucked out within, you'd have to ask Tom the exact, I think it's either 15 or 30 days.
Because
that's a long
because
line.
Of like the gas, the oil.
Well, oh, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Wow, I think it's like 2 days or something. Well, yeah.
No.
Oh, wow.
Because sometimes you can't get at it for a minute. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that one, in Sturgeon Bay, I think he told me when I talked to him yesterday, I think he told me that was in the water for 2 or 3 days.
Sturgeon Bay has something going on. I read that you bet. It's a fundraiser.
Oh, where when what's something it, sinks?
What is that called? It's got a little.
They actually do that in my hometown too, in the lake.
They're doing that in Sturgeon Bay now, and I know they're promoting it for the weekend. And you see, I'll look it up.
It's like a buoy or something once it's in the water, right?
Yeah, I think
once
it's more of a. I think it's kind of like a. Okay, I don't know.
Down by Fremont or Mishicot, they have the two dummies in the rowboat.
That was us. We were there.
We shot that story yesterday.
But they have two dummies in a rowboat, and once the rowboat gets broken free, you know, they...
That's what I mean, one of those kind of things. Yeah.
Those are fun.
Yeah.
But I think that also is an awareness to the community that, wait a minute, that thing is going to break through maybe tomorrow, so maybe you shouldn't walk out there.
Here's a for instance. So I was doing my captain's license course up in Sturgeon Bay this weekend and weekend before.
You're a captain.
And congrats to you for getting that.
Yep.
So hard?
It's like... Yes, it's hard. We can touch on that in a minute. But
yeah,
so I went over it was at City Hall, so I went over the old metal bridge. And the weekend before, all that ice was solid. But through the weekend, because 2 weeks ago it was warm, by the end of the weekend there was open water.
Yeah.
Just a little pocket.
Yeah.
Now this past weekend, all the way up through Monday, that all opened up probably 300 yards.
Wow. Isn't that quick?
That quick.
Well, you know, another thing that Tom mentioned about, though, is those ice flows when you get the heavy winds and those break away.
So, like, this morning I was talking to Paul.
I'm sorry. I think that'd be one of the scariest things in the world. Trapped in an ice flow.
Right. So, I was talking to Paul from North Shore Bait this morning, and he went out to the break wall with that northwest wind right now. He said there's probably 10 to 20-foot ice shoves right now.
Wow.
Right by the break wall because of that wind's pushing up.
Wow.
Well, same thing. You've heard about the ice jamming up on Bago when you have heavy wind at the end of the same thing.
I've seen it go through people's cabins.
Right.
Through the walls.
Right.
You want to talk about Mother Nature?
Yeah.
Go see that. Those ice things go right through the walls
and water,
of the cabins.
Ice and water are so destructive.
Yeah. I mean, those pictures that were beautiful, that some of that ice that goes up against those places, but it is unbelievable the power
you can't
of Mother
stop.
Nature.
Yeah, you can't stop it.
It's mind-boggling. Yeah. Yeah, you can't stop. Got another entry for what would be the best for tattoo for Jim to wear around his workout facility. Ask me about my linens. Ask me about my linens. The other one was Liberace's name tattooed on his body.
That's not
certain area, whatever.
I think it should be Liberace's face.
I do, too.
I do. I mean, if you're going to do a tattoo, do something artistic.
Okay. But
what was his favorite saying? Didn't he have a favorite saying? Something.
Yes.
And we put that next to it. Remember? Yeah, he would do that and he'd say something.
Look at the
piano. Yes. Hello, my beautiful people. Something like that. Yeah, you could do that.
Okay,
think
let's
about
move
it.
On.
All right. Kate, Cheese Curd Nick's giving a major prize package for this.
All right.
Cheese Curd Nick, congratulations on your captain's thing. I mean, that's prestigious.
And why did you do
You're
that?
You're a charter captain.
Yeah, you, and, you know, little. second career type thing?
Yeah, it is a second career. It's something to fill in the time. I fish a lot in the summertime, so I might as well get paid to do what I like to do.
Nice.
And I'm pretty good at it.
I think that's really cool that, you know, you're 50, that people think, wait a minute, I like doing this. I'm going to get licensed. There's people who love their garden. They go to TC and they get landscaping, and then they can get a business going. Right. You know, why not make a little money on the side, you know?
And so you have to, a lot of people don't know this, but in order, you can guide on inland lakes without a captain's license. But because technically the Bay of Green Bay,
Great Lake,
Sturgeon Bay Shipping Canal, all goes into Lake Michigan, that's federal waters.
Yep.
So you need to have a captain's license. It's called a six pack, meaning you can have up to six people in your boat that pay. And if you're going to take money on a federal water, you need to.
So you advertise like cheese curd Nick six pack.
Will you be bringing like cheese curd snacks for the people?
Well, maybe snack, not fried, but maybe fresh. But yeah.
Okay. Right,
we're going.
Yeah. We'd do that. We'd go out with you.
I'd go out with you.
I think it'd be fun. Mind of the Mayor. Back right after this.
WGBW and WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. Daylight saving time starts this weekend as we spring forward and set clocks ahead 1 hour. That means extra light in the evening, but it also means losing an hour of sleep. Children and teens are especially prone to the health impacts of getting less sleep, according to Dr. Casey Frymiller, a pediatrician with UW Health Kids. Sleep is so important for children because it helps them learn in school, manage their emotions, and have faster response times. Fraymiller suggests families plan ahead this week by adjusting bedtime in 15-minute increments a few days before the time changes. Evergreen Retirement Community, based in Oshkosh, has purchased the former Kimberly-Clark headquarters in Neenah and plans to expand in the Fox Valley on the 43-acre site. A release from Evergreen says it's considering independent living apartments and assisted living accommodations in the over 178,000-square-foot office building. It would also build a fitness and aquatic center, performance space, and a place for worship. The property served as the KC headquarters from 1956 to 1985. It was then used as office space until it closed in 2020. No sale price was announced, but the property was listed for almost $10 million in 2021. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call and 22 other attorneys general have filed a second motion for enforcement in relation to the Trump administration's federal funding freeze. According to the motion, the administration is continuing to block hundreds of millions of dollars in grants despite multiple court orders against the freeze. The motion asked the court to require the release of funding if the Trump administration is unable to provide evidence that it's already been unfrozen. The court previously granted the first motion for enforcement. I'm Lisa Hale for WGBW and WISS News. For news anytime, visit civicmedia.us.
Ready. While the teams get ready to choose their top draft pick, you can help Mino and the Mayor choose their top craft pick.
Northeast Wisconsin is home to amazing breweries, wineries, cideries, and distilleries, and we need your help picking the best.
We've drafted 10 of our favorites, but which local craft beverage creator will go to number one? That's up to you. Mino and the Mayor's top craft pick, drafting Northeast Wisconsin's finest one sip at a time. Now, back to Mino and the Mayor. Here's John Mino and Jim Schmidt. And if you haven't done so already, you can download the Civic Media app to listen to the station anytime, WGBW or WISS. And don't forget the top craft pick. Go online, WGBW.FM or WISS.FM. Click on the top craft pick and choose your favorite craft creator in Northeast Wisconsin. We'll award that the week of the draft here in Green Bay.
And we should get a sample.
Vote, huh?
Our goal is to
sample of
visit
all 10
of those places before the draft.
Better get going.
I know.
Only a few weeks left.
Only 50 days, right?
I know.
Something like
and
that,
you can
right?
vote every day.
You can vote whenever you like. Sure, yeah, absolutely.
So we're going to, we do have to get those done, John. We got to get scheduled together.
I get a kick talking to those people. I give them a lot of credit.
Oh, they love their product.
And it's so funny. I mean, they all have great personalities. Yeah. You can tell they're in it because of that.
Like, absolutely. You talk about your passion.
Serving, yep, mm-hmm. absolutely. Yeah. Yep.
We need to support that. And I think a lot of people are going to go to these craft breweries. They're not going to be, I mean, I know it's going to be sponsored by some of the big guys, but I do think when we get those 400,000 people here that they're going to seek out these craft breweries. You can say, look, I won this contest. I think people will find their way there.
I remember where was I on a trip and where were we? Texas or something. And the guy goes, I go, where do you guys want to go to eat tonight? And they go, I saw, I think it was like Olive Garden or something. It's like, we're in Texas.
Exactly. When people
we go to Olive
that,
Garden on
right,
a night.
Right.
That is anywhere USA.
Let's go get some really good Tex-Mex.
Right.
Oh, I don't know what that
No, then you got to go. You got to ask somebody.
Haven't you experienced people?
Oh,
like that?
Yeah. That way, I would never do that. I mean, I like to go in. Even in Cincinnati, I mean, that the Skyline Chili.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
a big thing, right?
Yep.
And you
it's
just got to
awesome.
Do that when you're there.
Yep.
Who would like Johnny said? Who'd go to the Olive Garden or TGI Fridays when you're there?
My sister lives in Texas, so when we're down there, it's always like the local rib place.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, it's like eating candy. That stuff.
Exactly.
So good.
Yeah. No disrespect. To
no,
Olive Garden, because I
not.
Love their gnocchi,
oh, so yeah,
and I love their bread, and I love their salad dressing. No disrespect to that. All I'm saying is they're all over the place.
But
and Beale Street, you got to hit those spots. Yeah. And people, I think people who are coming here, I don't know this, but I'm going to make an assumption that this isn't their first rodeo, that they've been out before. And,
right.
And people who travel don't go to the chains. They look for things, and we want to help them find the
There's some exceptions. There's some exceptions. Like if you go to California, you got to go to an In-N-Out Burger.
Well, no, that's what he's saying about Skyline. Or
well, right, but In-N-Out Burger's a chain.
But you can't get it here.
Right, exactly.
We did, didn't we?
We had a Sonic.
Yeah. No, we also had a Hot Now.
Yeah,
which
you're
is what
right.
You're, thinking
yeah. you're exactly but, right. Over off of like University or Main or that area.
Right.
Yeah, Main Street.
But that In-N-Out Burger, all you got to do is you got to find the change in the car.
Double.
Yeah,
got to get a double.
But we're hoping we can bring some of those things to light.
You know what I had in Arizona in my backyard? You know what we had? Jack in the Box.
Oh, yeah. Jack in the Box is good too.
You want to talk about cheap food? Yeah, it's really good at night.
Yeah. Right.
After you had a couple,
of cocktails.
Or those craft brews.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I think people will see it and read about it. But I think if they can see, tune in tomorrow. This video that we're making for these small businesses. I hope people see that. And if you got 400,000 people, you don't need a real high percent to come to your business to make money, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think there are some really unique things around here that people just need to seek out. And that's what we're going to be doing some of these videos, too, that people will be able to see before the draft. It's like, again, no disrespect to the chain type things, but we've got some really, really unique things here that you won't find anywhere else in the country.
Don't feel bad. The chains will be fine.
Well, here's the thing, too. To backtrack to your craft beer thing with the 10 beers. Or, you know, the
wines, too.
So I went to L.A. for the Packers-Rams game in October, okay? Yep. And we tailgated for fantasy football. The guys, like four of the guys from fantasy football live in LA or in the surrounding area. And I actually brought beer out, the craft beers from here. I brought some Still Make. I brought a couple other ones. And they would not believe how good the beer was. Mm. They're like, well, Wisconsin, the craft beer. I'm like, well, we are the drunkest state in the country.
Probably we could leave that out.
But it's like, you're going to have good beer. And they were very surprised on how... I brought like six or seven different craft beers, and they're like, wow, this is really good too. This is really good, you know.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's good to hear.
So the thing of it is with that craft beer, when they do that, I think that's going to be a big thing when the draft starts.
So people, no matter what, they're going to eat and drink. And we just want to have unique opportunities for them to eat and drink. And they're going to do a lot of other stuff, too. There's tours, Heritage Hill. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of things. Bay Beach is open.
Yeah, Bay Beach. The zoo is going to open.
Right.
And
there's a lot of
things.
Cool stuff to do, but I think we're going to lean a little bit more into the... Although we're going to do something at Bay Beach. We are.
I thought you guys were going to be selling cheese curds with
me. We called them. Remember? We did. We called them from here. No, ride the Ferris wheel, ride the roller coaster, saying, look, come out and do this. Because people may not be aware of it.
Whether there's some other event or something we're going to do out there, weren't we? In the pavilion or something? Oh, no. When we were at the wrestling the other night, one of our good friends who introduced us was talking about that.
Sure.
That'd be a great place because they used to have boxing out there. And to bring that back historically.
Yeah.
That Jason told us. That would be a great idea.
We're into the promotion of things that are unique.
But are you going to talk about your brats or you want to hold off of that? Did we talk with them on the air or was that off the air here? Your special brat.
We're not on the air.
I think it was on the air.
Tell us again.
Caramelized onions.
Caramelized onions. The brat that we work with now is a beer cheese brat at Stadium View for Packer games. So they're gonna add a couple more seasonings and caramelized onions.
Sounds phenomenal.
Yeah.
Got a text here from Mike. One time in college, I was able to get away from our college house to Hot Now during a commercial break of a football game. Grabbed 25 burgers and I did not miss a play.
And left a 20 on the counter and said, includes a tip.
That's awesome.
No, that's cool.
That's fantastic. You know, another one, though, too, that's unique is, you know, down the road here is Al's Hamburgers.
You know what? That, I mean, they can only, what's the seating capacity, 28 or something, but that could be a really cool place for people to go, and I've got to go to Al's Hamburger. I'd like to do a little video short there. I love that place. I used to go there all the time.
Just trying to show all the unique things around
right.
here.
Right, and there are a lot of them.
You can still go there. Just because you're not the mayor doesn't mean you can't still go there.
No, I want to go with John and I want to help promote that. You're right. But there's some other, cool places.
I've ever been there. Can you believe that?
What?
I've never been to Al's?
I don't think I have.
What?
Oh, my God.
Not lying.
Wow. Today after the show, go.
Well, then okay. You're going to, well.
Hey, yeah, we should do.
Do you have anything else to do today? Because it's got kind of a little bit, you know, onions.
Hey, we should do. You guys are doing the 10 thing with the, you should, guys should do a 10 burger. Do a 10 burger thing. Al's Hamburger, Drift In.
Yeah, Drift In's good.
Yeah. Kroll's.
I'd like to go and there's some great Basil's. Appleton. Basil's is great.
Yeah, Basil's.
Yeah, I used to love the stand, though.
Mm-hmm. Joe Roar's.
Joe Roar's is awesome. Yeah,
I've been to Joe Roar's. I'll tell you what, Saturday morning, an old fashioned, Bloody Mary, right. Make great Bloody Marys. Yeah. Then the great burgers. That's a cool little Sunday morning.
And people, maybe they will go off their diet a little bit when they're here, but Bloody Marys, we were talking about this yesterday, and there's
on the rocks in Algoma.
But there's good Bloody Marys, and there's some that.
Well,
be better.
Have you ever had one at on the rocks in Algoma?
I'll tell you what's good. Bloody Marys is right down the road here at St. Brendan's.
Well, right, but have you ever seen the ones at on the rocks?
What do you mean?
It's a bar. It's basically on the rocks shoreline in Algoma.
By the fish place?
Just north of the launch, the dock. Yeah. And they have this big outdoor patio. They have bands there every weekend, okay? And they have this...
You're thinking Algoma or Kewaunee?
Algoma.
Okay.
And they've been ranked like one or two in the state for Bloody Marys.
Wow, and never heard of them.
The top half of it is like four meals.
Oh, that chicken and all that? Yeah.
Their Bloody Marys are good too.
But I think if you want a good Bloody Mary... They're not all the same. Like if you get, you know, a screwdriver, they're kind of the same a little bit. But
well, vodka helps that. But
well, the Bloody Mary. No, what my point is that some Bloody Marys are bland. Some people are spicier.
I was telling you a story. I had the other. I told the waitress said really, really spicy Bloody Mary. It was like V8 and vodka and olive.
Yeah,
it's like really.
But the other place that has good Bloody Marys is D2.
Wait a minute. Is that a Wisconsin thing when they put horseradish in a Bloody Mary, or is that nationwide?
Boy, I don't know.
Have you ever had one with horseradish?
But you know what? When we make those on our video, I mean, then people will come in from, you know, San Diego, or there's no team in San Diego, LA, and they'll say, look, I want that Bloody Mary with the horseradish.
Because they're
not going to order that press unless they see,
We know where the San Diego people are going to be hanging out.
What?
Guy told us yesterday or 2 days ago. His establishment is going to host.
Oh, yeah. Chargers. Well, yeah. The Chargers are, they rent. Yeah, that's going to be cool. They're going to be downtown, and we love that.
And we love place they're going to be.
Yeah.
I'm going to crash that.
I think there's a lot of unique things, and I think people will just go to that site and watch a few of them and say, we got to go there.
How did we never hear this bar called On the Rocks?
Smashed On the Rocks. That's one Smashed of their Bloody, the, that's one of their
oh
Bloody
my
Marys.
God.
Yeah, I've seen that. I've seen that.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
But their Bloody Marys, they don't, when they make their Bloody Marys, some places will put all the stuff in the thing, so you only have like 3 ounces of Bloody Mary. They actually make the Bloody Mary and then put everything on top.
Is Bloody Marys a Wisconsin thing, or is that nationwide? That's nationwide.
I think that's nationwide, but that is a good drink.
Look at that one.
Yeah. that's a little much for me, but what is your favorite supper club? Like, we can't go more than 25 minutes away, 30 minutes.
Well, there ain't many if you say that.
No. I say Oshkosh. I mean, I'm saying 1 hour. I mean, Oshkosh would be the southern border. I would think Marinette.
I thought you wanted the northern. Hour to be the round trip. It's an hour each way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, like if we drew a circle right where we're sitting.
That opens up the whole world.
Well, that's, I mean, I was actually saying from Lambeau Field, if we could almost do a, I don't know, how would you do that?
50-mile like, radius.
Yeah. Yeah, 1 hour radius, 50, 60-mile radius.
Can you get like a GPS thing that would actually draw circle. A circle on a map? Yeah.
Well, that's what I wanted. You know, that, there's well, a ton well,
yeah,
of supper
clubs. Yeah, that's what
clubs.
I mean. But okay, don't you think, because I think people would drive an hour. If you're staying in Green, if somebody's staying at your house,
yeah,
they would drive, if you have to a list of all these potential things.
Black out of those places in, yeah. Well, was it St. Anne's?
Well, you got to remember,
that's good.
You know, my key thing with a supper club is the supper club is a salad bar and a soup bar, okay? I would have to say the two places that I would say would probably be the best with that is the Black Otter and Hotel Seymour.
Oh, Hotel Seymour. Yeah. I'm looking out the window. Like, it is raining sleet.
It is.
Yeah. It is literally sleet that is coming down from the sky.
Brittany called this.
Yes, she did.
Yeah.
But like the Black Otter has over 30 items on their salad bar, and they have like four or five soups, have a cheese and cracker.
But we
bar.
Could even go
Kentucky Rain, great song.
The Out of Town Club is fun too, and that's so close. Then everybody's going to be driving back. Yeah, I think it's. I don't know.
You know what's funny? I remember listening to this song on a way to
Krabby's Supper Club is good.
High school football game in Black Gladstone, Rick. And where it has this. And I was like 17.
Wow.
And he talks about some old gray-haired gentleman in front of the general store. Now I'm them.
Here you are. Yes, you are. That is.
We got to start a quick break. Back right after this.
So I'm walking in the rain, thumbing for a ride on this lonely Kentucky back road. I've loved you much too long. My love's too strong. Let you go, never knowing what went wrong.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
I showed you a photograph to some old gray bearded men. Sitting on a bench outside a general store. They said, yes.
Okay, Mino, I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Who wrote this song?
Was it yesterday? No way.
Elvis didn't write any of his own songs, right?
Not really, no.
Tom T. Hall.
Nope, I'll give you a hint. He had a bunch of hits.
Willie Nelson.
Nope, he was a country crossover hit guy.
Glenn Campbell.
Nope. Little younger than that.
Give me another hit.
Did a duet with Crystal Gayle. Had a hit.
Kenny Rogers.
Nope.
Eddie Rabbit.
That is correct.
Oh, wow.
Eddie Rabbit wrote that song along
that's
with...
A windshield. That's a truck. That's a driving song. Yeah, okay.
Dick Hurdock, actually, as well.
He's dead, right?
Eddie Rabbit? Yeah, yeah, he passed away.
He was at the Carlton.
Who wasn't at the Carlton?
Right.
Metallica was at the Carlton.
Huh?
Metallica.
Come on.
Or not the Carlton. Carlton.
The Carlton Metallica? When it burned down.
Yeah, Metallica.
Were they around then?
Yes. Wow.
So it'd be 1984 when it burnt down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know they go that far back.
It was their first album.
Really? Yeah. Did you work it?
He got no. him, no. He got him, he got him on the way up, some of these people.
Jim, mm-hmm. I've got a project for you. There needs to be a documentary on Carlton.
Agree.
You could put a nice film together on that.
I totally agree.
Enter it.
We didn't know what we had when we had that.
That's right.
And I hate when that happens because you know, I've told my kids, I don't ever take anything for granted. But people were like, yeah, I'm going to go. I'm not going to go.
Well, it's like me not seeing the Eagles in town.
And that's something.
Tom Petty was my regret. I had like five opportunities. I'll get them next time.
Well, I can't believe Bob Dylan's going to be in town and I'm not going.
Yeah, I saw him. So it was great. Anyway, that's a good idea. Actually, the guy who managed the place, I know him. I see him once in a while.
So. Got this. I saw Metallica. Armored Saint, and are those the names of the bands?
Yes, I think yes. So, yep.
Yep.
Todd, read that one.
So I saw Metallica, Armored Saint, and Wasp at the Carlton in the 80s. That's by Luann.
Yep.
I didn't do those. I did.
For folks, Jim, for folks who don't know what the Carlton was.
And what
so
you did there.
Carl Barron was a young entrepreneur. I think he was 30 when he in.
Wow.
He started in Two Rivers, where I grew up. And there's the Lighthouse Inn. That used to be called the Carlton Inn, right?
Yep.
Which, by the way, has a really good breakfast. It's a free breakfast when you stay there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just throwing that out there.
No, it is.
I love the lighthouse.
Yeah. Another place with that has a great bar because it's like being on the ocean.
You're 10 feet away from the water.
I can hear the waves crashing.
I love the lighthouse.
Yeah, that's a good place. Well, anyway, so Carl owned that. And the banquet room, low ceilings, like that place we were at.
Yeah,
he would bring in any table. So he'd bring in people like Leslie Uggams, Sonny Bono.
So in that room they'd have wedding receptions?
Right.
Low ceilings. Ducks Unlimited banquets?
Right.
Oh, my God. They'd bring in people like that?
Yeah. Like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Carol Channing. But then he would fill it up and what is that seat? 250 maybe?
Maybe.
And he called our high school. I was at Roncalli. And he called the theater department. And I was a little involved in that. And called Sister Cecilia. And he goes, do you have any guys that can help us out? And we got these shows coming in. And we didn't know anything about lighting. Went there, a couple spotlights, you know, a couple hanging lights, gel. We'd put the actual gel in there. And we did this, and he's like, oh, you guys are awesome. And then he started paying us, like a lot, you know? Like, you're in high school, and you get a couple $100. That's a lot of money.
Right.
And so we'd do that, and he was booking these things for 8 days, and then he obviously was doing well, had the connections. Then he came to Green Bay on the west side, 54.
Festival there. Foods.
Right. Mason.
Yeah. Mason. Yeah.
So Festival Foods, if anybody doesn't know, Festival Foods on West Mason was the Carlton West.
Right.
So well, spot was. I mean,
that spot
it burned
was.
Down.
Yes.
I remember that.
Yes.
I was on a news story or sports story, and we got a call over a scanner. Immediately, you must run to the Carlton. Must run to the Carlton. I want to say it was New Year's Day, if I'm not mistaken.
It was the coldest night. I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm
not
sure.
Cold.
It was freezing cold. I'm not sure it was
New Year's. Had to run there and cover that story.
Yeah. And then he built this place. Well, look, he really wanted to model it after Vegas. So he had this tiered seating. You get booths or you got the long tables, right? So they're tables. And, you know, he had a good business plan. He had a great mind. But staffing was always a challenge. So he'd call St. Norbert. You know, I need waiters. Well, these guys didn't know how to wait. But they'd come in there. But he brought in shows for $8. Letterman, you know, Mills Brothers, Eddie Rabbit, some of these guys on the way up. But he brought in people like Bobby Vinton. People would go and it was, $60 or something, you know what I mean? And it was great. And he brought in eight days a month, he would book entertainment, top name entertainment, like Jerry Lewis. Jerry Lewis was there.
I got a friend who waitressed there.
Oh, yeah.
He said a lot of Packer players would hang out there.
Everybody worked. Everybody who was like 20 years old at that time worked there.
She said David Whitehurst was really popular with the girls.
Oh, yeah. But John Davidson, you know, Ricky Nelson was there a number of times. And just those are the people that were there. And we did the lighting, so we'd always meet them in between shows. How do we do? What do you like? And, you know, they were super nice to us. They always liked the lighting guys and the sound guy. And, you know, Rodney Dangerfield. And it's funny, you go into their dressing room, Milton Berle. You know, some of them weren't dressed appropriately, but they didn't care, right? I mean, it's their dressing room.
Right.
They're sitting there and, you know.
Got a text here. Here's who I saw, Jim. Emmylou Harris, Poco, Jerry Jeff Walker. Used to love Jerry Jeff Walker. John Anderson, Michael Martin Murphy. I miss that place.
Yeah, yeah. I left, though, in 81, so I didn't do those last. Those, I think, were 82, 83, 84. I didn't do that.
I mean,
I graduated in 81, so I 80. And, but it was, again, my point with Todd was just saying, I think we started to not appreciate as much as we should have, you know? And,
well, right.
But Carl did it right. I mean, the outside of that building was like a tin building. And the entertainers would come in and get, I drove up to this place. I thought I was at the wrong place, you know, this warehouse. But he put the money on the inside.
Yeah, well, you look at even like the Riverside Ballroom. You know, people don't remember that the Red Hot Chili Peppers were at the Riverside Ballroom.
Oh, that was a big story.
Right.
Were you mayor then?
No.
When they had was it Bill Morgan had to chase one of the guys down? He came out naked or something?
Yeah, well, they all come out naked.
Okay.
But if you look at, and you look at the history of the Riverside, you know, the Big Bopper. And but you look at all the, and you look at all these small little areas.
Here's
you know,
Eddie
even
Rabbit.
Like the Orpheum in Madison. Look at the history of the Morpheum at Madison.
All I'm saying is never take that stuff for granted.
Right.
Got another entry for the key up to our tattoo contest for Jim. What tattoo would he like to strut around the gym half naked in? Confucius say the key to success is to not leave your keys in the front door. All right.
I love these listeners. They're taking notes.
Back to the prune thing. No, 85%. Yes, 15. I'm undefeated
in
my polls. Undefeated. Back after this.
Wash all my cares away. I wake up to a sunny day.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community.
Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.